Hi, welcome to this evening's call. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. I guess the first thing we should do is take you to our website, nationallibertyalliance.org, and on the jurist document page, which is right here, let's see, jurist documents, right down here. You click on that and then come down towards the bottom of the page, and you'll see the paperwork that we drew up here in New York State. We had a meeting in New York, here in New York, a webinar, a special meeting, just New York people came, and the purpose of that, we had did a presentment on a clerk down in Nassau County, and we had given them a certain amount of time to respond, or we would file the indictment on them. And by that Wednesday, when that Wednesday came, we were going to go file the indictment, but so many other things happened that it caused us to put some other people onto that indictment. And it turned out that we have two judges, high-ranking judges here in New York State, and eight clerks totally, that just is not willing to accept anything we do. And the judges sent out, memos throughout the state to all clerks, both county clerks and court clerks, to not to accept any of our paperwork. And people are getting some letters back and documents back. Not everybody, though, but in any event, a lot of us. So we met, I forget what day we met, must have been Wednesday, probably Thursday, I guess. Must have been Thursday that we met. I don't remember particularly, but it was Thursday night, and we drew up, we went through all of the letters and the individuals involved and all of the potential charges, and we decided to do a presentment, a true bill of indictment, on these 10 individuals. We also decided that, we put it all together. I think we got it together by Saturday morning. It was Saturday morning that we mailed it out. So by late Friday night, we had all of the paperwork drawn up and done. This paper we're looking at now is all of the paperwork. Again, it's a high treason presentment on the bottom of the page, jurist documents. So if you want to open up and take a look at that and read that, it has two fax pages. We faxed a copy. We wrote a special letter to all of the clerks, which we'll read that. Maybe Gerard can do the reading tonight when we're ready. But we faxed a letter to all of the clerks, county clerks, and to all of the court clerks. So there was 62 plus 62. So we got a total of 120. 62 and 62. So I guess it's about 124. We also send them a copy of the letter that we sent to the perpetrators. 10 perpetrators or 10 defendants. And like I said, two were judge and eight were clerks. So we send the letters, a copy of the letter we sent to those people, and we also send them a copy of the presentment, which again is a true bill of indictment. But to the eight clerks and two judges, we gave them until Friday morning. They will have till Friday morning to make a decision on whether they're going to give us access or not, at which time we are going to file. Now, we may get more between now and then, but we're going to file no matter what, and we will then just add more people to that indictment if it's necessary. And then we'll just go forward with that here in New York. Now, we did get we were contacted by Alternative News out of Manhattan, New York, so out of New York, and it was a TV station. And they've been kind of boning up on common law and a lot of things we've been boning up on also. And so they had pretty good knowledge of what we were doing, and I guess they recently just discovered us and they were interested in doing a story. At first, when they first approached us, we weren't really interested in going onto TV at this point. and that was right before Wednesday, I think, and we kind of put them off. We said we'd get back to them. But then the events unfolded, and we decided, well, it's time. I think Gerard's going to do a one-hour interview on the TV. We're going to be videotaping that this week. I don't want to talk about dates or anything or specifics, but just that we're going to videotape that somewhere. They have a television studio down in New York City, and they have one up in Woodstock. On Friday, we are going to be traveling the state, and I'm not sure how many courts we're going to go to. We're definitely going to go to at least 5 of them, but we have a total of 7, I think. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We have a total of 8 courts we'd like to go to, but we're not going to be able to do that in an 8-hour period, so we're probably going to reduce it to 5. And we'll figure out the 5 most important ones to do. We're going to try to get access. We're going to be traveling with a film crew, and we do also have out of the woodwork. Sort of came another individual who was a journalist out of Connecticut, and they came with pretty high ranking, and we talked with her for quite some time, and she, again, also was kind of boned up on a lot of the stuff we've been doing and a little understanding on common law and been looking at the grand juries and so on and so forth. And she's going to be, again, doing the story on it. We're going to give her the exclusive. So from after we do that one interview with the TV, and then... we're also going to have the TV crew follow us around for the sole purpose of filing the papers in each county. Like I said, at least 5, but we have as many as 8, and again, probably 5. And we'll get their reaction on video. The last county we go to is where we will file the indictment should they not allow us into the courts. So that's going to be kind of the plan. Now, after Friday, any press that was to call us or anything, we're going to send them directly to the one news reporter, and they will. Like I said, they're going to get a the exclusive on whatever we're doing, and that's going to kind of put a little bit of a buffer between us and the news. Because the first order of business as soon as the mainstream news gets this is to come out and to try to destroy the messenger. And we want that message to get out there. So it's going to be a little difficult if the TV news has to go to a news station that we've given an exclusive to. And then for any of the other news going to the other individual that we give an exclusive to for the journalist. And hopefully we'll have a little better control of the what goes out into the news so that we can get the truth out there. We did fax out today. All these faxes may not have gone out today. We asked for help for a lot of people in New York to send these faxes out for us. So we kind of sent an email blast out and sent this information to them and asked each one of these individuals to fax it in their own counties. There are some counties we have in New York where we do not have any representatives yet, and we'll work that out tomorrow to make sure we get this faxed out to them also. But generally, what we fax to them are these letters. We'll start off with the letter that was sent to all New York Supreme Court Chief Judge clerks and all New York County clerks. Gerard, do you want to read this?
Well,
if you want, I can try to scroll with you, and I got it up on the computer already.
All right, I'll do that. Somebody's saying, can you turn yourself up a tad? I didn't think I was having trouble.
Can you hear me, Gerard?
I hear you fine.
Yeah, you aren't coming in too good, though.
I didn't have my thing on there.
You're loud.
Okay,
now.
This is the letter that we wrote to all the clerks to kind of give them an idea where we're at. Okay, so I'm going to start. Dear clerks, it has come to the attention of we the people of New York's common law grand jury, county grand juries, that the Chief Administrative Judge, A. Gail Prudente, has sent a directive in the form of a letter as pertaining to the common law grand juries in New York State. In this directive, Judge Prudente and others have taken it upon themselves to order all county clerks and court clerks to reject any filings pertaining to the constituted common law grand juries. This is a felony act of treason. And then we quote, we judges have no more right to decline the exercise of jurisdiction which is given than to usurp that which is not given. The one or the other would be treason to the Constitution. Cohen versus Virginia, 1821. Let this serve as a notice to you, the elected and appointed public servants of we the people, that this directive of Judge Prudente could be construed as a felony act of treason and usurpation of her powers as a member of the branch of the judicial arm of our constitutional New York government. So govern your actions accordingly. All elected officials, county clerks, chief court clerks, as well as Judge Prudente, have an oath of office they should have sworn to uphold as a condition of holding their office. This action of the judge and the county clerks is a direct assault and a breach of the peace on the people of New York and infringes on their unbridled right to form and run grand juries for the people's constitutional oversight without interference from the courts they operate out of. Please be advised, over the next few days and weeks, the remaining various counties will be establishing their grand juries, and every refusal will be noted and added to the presented papers. Each actor, whether a judge or a clerk or other, will be held to answer for the full remedy allowed under the law, both civilly and criminally. Following orders or being ignorant of the law is not an excuse of the law and will not be tolerated by the people. Make no mistake about our filing with the court and the county clerks. We are not asking permission of our elected public servants. We are merely announcing, as the grand jury consenters, arises out of the people. We missed something there.
And as the grand jury.
No, go back. We're announcing, go ahead. And as the grand jury consenters arises out of the people and owes its existence to no other branch of the government. The grand jury normally operates under the auspices of the court and should convene in that edifice whenever possible, but it does not need permission or even that brick and mortar to operate. Just as the courts could operate out of a tent in times of extreme calamity, so can the grand jury convene a court of record wherever else it is necessary in order to carry out its lawful duty until such time as the decorum, authority, and order of those courtrooms be restored. We expect nothing less. We the people counsel you to read carefully the authorities that the common law grand juries have provided you, our public servants, with. If you do not understand these authorities, you should seek legal advice on your responsibility under the law before you decide to comply with Judge Prudente's treasonous breach of the peace order. Respectfully, Administrator Unify. And we don't know who that is down there signing that. He's incognito.
Okay, if you take note, we got the Unified New York Grand Jury seal. We kind of created that off the fly, and I think whenever a state is acting collectively, all of the grand juries collectively, to act as one, all of the counties, they might want to adopt this kind of a seal. Now, we have not purchased this seal. We just went up online and onto the Staples and created the seal as if we were going to purchase it. And then when we were looking at it right before you purchase it, you can kind of copy the image and then you can utilize that image. I don't think we necessarily need a seal of this type really made up, but a state may feel it necessary. Then you're going to have to figure out who's going to hold that seal. But in any event, calling ourselves the Unified Grand Jury just sounded like the right thing to do, considering that the Supreme Court here in New York calls themselves, when they collectively come together as unified. We also did the same thing with our letterhead, Unified New York Common Law Grand Jury, and well, let me go down to the next section, and you'll see what we did with our stamps. Let me read this letter here. This is the letter sent to the perpetrators. Again, to high-level Supreme Court justices or judges, the chief administrative judge and another administrative judge.
That chief administrative judge is a judge. She was elected. Somebody asked me, is she just an administrative? She worked her way up. She was appointed by the governor at Pataki at one point. But she is an elected judge. She has experience. She knows what she's doing. I mean, she may not be adjudicating cases right now, but she's sitting there presiding over a $2 billion budget and making policy. So she is a top dog.
Yeah, and remember, she's not an administrative judge of administrative court. She is the administrator of the unified court system of the New York Supreme Court. So she is kind of a top dog, a very high-leveled individual. And I think she was appointed, you said, Gerard, right?
Yes, Governor Pataki was the first one to appoint her.
Okay. All right, so these are the names.
She's been here a long time.
These are the names of all of the treason perpetrators. And I'll read this letter that we wrote that went to all of these individuals along with the presentment, a true bill of indictment. And so we wrote, "Dear servants, on Thursday, October 4th, 2013, jurors of," and then we mentioned all of the counties. And since then, there were other counties that were with us, other people from other counties that were with us, and since then they have become constituted. So there are two other counties that are going to be adding their stamps to this this particular presentment, and we added them in the bottom of the presentment. So we now, I think, 17 or 18 counties that actually are going to stamp this paper. And this is why we teach. It's extremely important that any state out there doing this should come to at least five or more elected or constituted, not elected, but constituted grand juries before they file and file together, because you may be met with the same problems we are. But we believe that what's going to take place in New York, and I guess it could go two ways. They can yield to us, but nevertheless, it's too late. It's going out on the news because of their resistance. But it'll be a lot gentler or a lot less upon them if they yield to us. If they don't yield to us, then it's going to be huge, I think, and they're going to have the weight of the press upon them, and they're going to have the weight of the people upon them. And whatever goes on here in New York, I believe it's going to become national. And then as the other states start appearing with all these grand juries, I think it's going to kind of grease the wheels to make it a lot easier for other states to be able to get themselves through the system a lot easier. But anyway, it goes on that date that all these counties came together to consider a presentment against the 10 individuals, I won't name them all, for acting under the color of law to prevent the people of Nassau County from performing their unalienable right to sit as consentors. I know we did change that. I got to correct this on this paper. But it's not just the people of Nassau County. It's the people of New York. So that was corrected, I think. Notice of full faith and credit cause Article 4, Section 1 of the Constitution for the United States of America states, full faith and credit shall be given to each state and public acts, recorded records, and judicial proceedings of every other state. Violators are criminal felony offenses pursuant to U.S. Code 18, 241, 42, 1951, and 2071. And then we gave some California code, which ultimately applies everywhere, and it can be seen from the Declaration of Independence. But in acting this chapter, the legislature finds and declares that the public commissioners, board, and councils and the other public agencies in this state exist to aid in the conduct of the people's business. Also see the Declaration of Independence. It is the intent of the law that their actions be taken openly and that their deliberations be conducted openly. The people of this state do not yield their sovereignty, the master's authority, to the agencies which serve them. That's a principle well stated in the Declaration of Independence, that we have government by the consent of the people. The people in delegating authority do not give their public servants, which is their employees, right to decide what is good for the people to know and what is good for them not to know. What is good for the people to know and what is not good for them to know. Article 1, Section 2, power inherent in people. All power is inherent in the people. All free governments are founded in their authority and instituted for their benefit. They have, therefore, an unalienable and indefeasible right to institute government and to alter, reform, or totally change the same when their safety and happiness requires it. The United States Supreme Court declares that the sovereignty remains with the people and resides with the people. Yickwo versus Hopkins. Even though it has been long recognized that the courts have not been operating as advertised, we have decided that we, the people, would not join in a witch hunt, but desire only to restore justice in our courts of justice, which is our constitutional protected lawful right to do so. We also decided that we would diligently pursue this restoration with peaceful intentions, honor, and mercy, with our eyes on the future and not the past. And therefore, we are extending to you one additional chance to step aside and open a pathway for the common law grand juries to take its rightful seat in order that they may operate in the courthouses under judicial auspices, as Justice Anton Scalia instructed that they should in the United States versus Williams. We, the people of New York, are gracing you until 9 a.m. Friday morning, October 11, 2013, to comply and by giving access to the grand jury room. Failure to comply will result in the filing of the attached presentment, a true bill. As for your argument concerning Section 190.10, it does not apply to common law, but only to your statutory courts acting under their corporate charter, which is in conflict with the people's constitution that empowered you. Gerard, you want to get that letter out, and when I'm done with this, you can read the letter, which focuses in on that 190.10 code. Anyway, you should realize that the government, by becoming a corporator.
What letter is that, John? It's focusing on
the
what?
One, I think it's the one coming from up in upstate out of Schenectady, and where it's quoted that particular law, I think, is quoted in there, and also the quoting of Judge Potente.
I'll see what you can find.
If not, I'll find it, and I'll get it after you read the next section.
Yeah.
Okay, constitution that empowered you. You should realize that the government, by becoming a corporator, U.S. Code 28, subsection 3002, lays down its sovereignty and takes on that of a private citizen. It can exercise no power which is not derived from the corporate charter. See the Bank of the United States versus Planters Bank of Georgia. Furthermore, the following is presented in order to sober your emotional response to the owners of the great state, New York. Key focus over whose functioning the courts do not preside. Justice Anton Scalia said, because the grand jury is an institution separate from the courts over whose functioning of the courts do not preside, we think it clear that as a general matter, at least, no such supervisory judicial authority exists. And again, that's the United States versus John H. Williams, and it was also quoted, that particular case, in U.S. versus Williams. All of these quotes where Anton Scalia is speaking is quoted in the Williams case. A constitutional fixture in its own right. Justice Anton Scalia said, the grand jury is mentioned in the Bill of Rights, but not in the body of the Constitution. It has not been textually assigned, therefore, to any of the branches described in the first three articles. It is a constitutional fixture in its own right. It's a Fifth Amendment right, but it's an unalienable right protected by the Fifth Amendment. So it is a constitutional fixture in its own right. And then he gives the quotes, United States versus Chainin. Marbury versus Madison, all laws, rules, and practices which are repugnant to the Constitution are null and void. There can be no limitation on the power of the people of the United States of America by their authority. The state constitutions were made, and by their authority, the constitutions for the United States of America were established. Hussenstein versus Linham. Yickwo versus Hopkins. The United States Supreme Court declares that the sovereignty remains with the people and resides with the people. State versus Batson. No action can be taken against a sovereign in the non-constitutional courts of either the United States or the state courts, and any such action is considered the crime of barratry. Barratry is an offense at common law. And ultimately, barratry, we put down a footnote here which gives the interpretation of that meaning. It's in criminal law, a common mover, an exciter or maintainer of suits and quarrels, either in courts or elsewhere in the country, a disturber of the peace who spreads false rumors and calamities, whereby discord and disquiet may grow among neighbors. Cohen versus Virginia. We judges, and we had this in a letter. We judges have no more right to decline the exercise of jurisdiction which is given than to usurp that which is not given. The one or the other would be treason to the Constitution. Therefore, your actions will be exposed as high treason against the sovereign people of New York and the Constitution, if not immediately corrected. Belongs to no branch of the institutional government. Justice Anton Scalia said, in fact, the whole theory of its function is that it belongs to no branch of the institutional government, serving as a kind of a buffer or referee between the government and the people. Operates in the courthouse under judicial aspices. Justice Anton Scalia said, the grand jury normally operates, of course, in the courthouse and under judicial aspices. Its institutional relationship with the judicial branch has traditionally been, so to speak, at arm's length. Functions independent from the judicial branch. Justice Anton Scalia said, the grand jury's functional independence from the judicial branch is evident both in the scope and its power to investigate criminal wrongdoing, and in the manner in which that power is exercised. Unlike a court whose jurisdiction is predicated upon a specific case or contrary, the grand jury can investigate merely on suspicion that a law is being violated, or even because it wants assurance that it is not. Requires no authorization from its constituting court. Justice Anton Scalia said, the grand jury requires no authorization from its constituting court to initiate an investigation. The Fifth Amendment guarantees independence from prosecuting attorney or judge. Justice Anton Scalia said, recognizing this tradition of independence, we have said that the Fifth Amendment's constitutional guarantee presupposes an investigative body acting independently of either prosecuting attorney or judge. No judicial supervisory power. Just announced Anton Scalia said, giving the grand jury's operational separateness from its constituting court, it should come to no surprise that we have been reluctant to invoke the judicial supervisory power as a basis for prescribing modes of grand jury procedure. Fifth Amendment, common law, therefore a common law grand jury, Justice Anton Scalia used the phrase, the common law of the Fifth Amendment grand jury. Therefore, because it is the common law, the Fifth Amendment is a common law, and it is a common law, the grand jury, therefore we are a common law grand jury. Conclusions proven by your actions. If the government can select the jurors, it will, of course, select those whom it supposes will be favorable to its enactments. And an exclusion of any of the free men from eligibility is the selection of those not excluded. It will be seen from the statutes cited that the most absolute authority over the jury box, that is, over the right of the people to sit in jurors, has become usurped by the government. And that was written by Lysander Spooner in Trial by Jury, page 92, and that was written, I believe, in 1853. The Supremacy Clause. This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuant thereof, and all treaties made of which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the constitutions of laws of any state to the contrary, notwithstanding. The U.S. Constitution, therefore, and the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence is superior and overshadows all law and all constitution, and all judges must obey and acknowledge that. To war against that is to war against the Constitution, to war against the people, and it is high treason. High treason can be found, life imprisonment is available for anyone who commits high treason. High treason is treason against the king. Marbury versus Madison, which concluded, thus the particular phraseology of the Constitution of the United States confirms and strengthens the principles supposed to be essential to all written Constitution, that a law repugnant to the Constitution is void, and that court, as well as other departments, are bound by that instrument. Where rights secured by the Constitution are involved, there can be no rulemaking or legislation that would abrogate them. That's Miranda versus Arizona. The uncodified common law is the superior law of the people, and the codified civil law is the special or inferior law of the government and its agency. Because the United States Constitution guarantees to each state a republican form of government, not a democracy, Article 4, Section 4 of the United States Constitution, the law and the will of the people outrank the law of the government. Access to the common law is guaranteed and protected in the law by the U.S. Constitution. We, the people, await your answer and compliance to our just and lawful demand, and in the absence of one, we will take the appropriate lawful action necessary to restore the sovereign and make whole the people of New York. You may fax your answers to the above fax number. Respectfully, Unified New York Grand Jury. True bill of indictment, 5 pages, are attached. I'll let Gerard read this, and well, you can read this, Gerard. I'll scroll. You don't have to lay out all of the... Let me just get past this. The constituted common law grand juries of... And then we named all of the counties that at the time were constituted. And as I said, we're going to add a couple more because there were other people at this meeting, and they now are constituted. So we have three more that are constituted, I think. But anyway, then it mentions all the names of the individuals, and then it picks up. You want to pick it up from here and after the defendants, or do you want me to read it?
I'm looking. Listen, I have.
You have the letter. Read the letter before we read the.
What I do have here. Let me minimize you guys out so I can see it because it's on my desktop. I have this from Harold Cohen that he sent to them, anyway, he says, on September 17, 2013, I received a call from Tom Honey.
You can't hear you. You're away from your mic. We can't hear anything.
How's that? Is that better?
Still, you're too far.
I'm right on it. Something must be wrong with my mic then.
Yeah. Shake a...
Wow. Hang on a minute. Let me see if I can fix this.
How you doing, Ed? All right, well, he's trying to get on. Let me read the presentment, and then he can read the letter. Okay. The constituted common law grand juries of the Bronx, Columbia County, and so on and so forth, and we mentioned all the counties of New York, charges that during the month of September and October 2013, A. Gail Prudente, Randall Hinrichs, and I believe that spelling of that name is wrong. We'll correct that when we file it. We're not going to read all the names. There's 10 people here. Here and after, our defendants acting under the color of law did conspire against the people in acts of high treason, obstruction of justice, conspiracy, contempt, and RICO by taking upon themselves the people's role of tribunal after being forewarned in writing by said grand juries that they perform only their ministerial functions and that they not take upon themselves to perform any tribunal functions. Defendants instead acted arrogantly outside their role as servants and contemptuously orchestrated a statewide obstruction of the people's constituted grand juries, thereby boldly denying the people of their unalienable rights protected under the Fifth Amendment to act in their most sacred role as consentor, thereby committing the following offenses: high treason, conspiracy, obstruction of justice, U.S. Code 18-241, rights conspiracy against rights, deprivation of rights, racketeering's influence and corrupt organization, obstruction of proceedings, misleading conduct, clerk is to file, concealment, removal, or mutilation generally, New York Penal Code official misconduct, New York Penal Code obstructing government administration, New York Penal Code unlawful prevention of public access to records, New York Penal Code criminal impersonation, New York Penal Code scheming to defraud. A true bill, and it'll be dated October 11, 2013. And then after that, we have quite a few pages of seals, for each county. This will be sealed, each one of these, with the name of the county and the signature of a representative of each county. And I believe we're going to end up, I don't remember whether we're going to have a total of 17 in here or a total of 18, but it'll be one or the other. And then it will be filed in one of the counties. We don't want to identify which county we're going to file it in. And then we'll see where we go. But that'll happen if they refuse us access. Gerard, are you back? Did you get that letter?
Can you hear me?
You're coming in kind of low.
I don't know why. Maybe you should turn your mic. Maybe nobody's talking but me.
Well, let me. Someone raise their hand, and maybe you can tell us how we're coming in, if you can hear me. Oh, I see Daryl. Let me open up Daryl. Daryl, go right ahead. Well, let me try again to open up Daryl. Yeah, Daryl, can you hear me well? Can you hear Gerard?
I can hear Gerard and both of you real well.
Okay, maybe it's my side. I'll raise my volume.
Yeah, because Gerard's not doing better than you do.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Gerard.
Okay. Well, this is what we have is this letter that Harold Cohen wrote because they never gave him, they wouldn't give him, in other words, they read the letter to him. So this is sort of his request to get the letter. You know what I mean? I sent via fax on September 4th to the Suffolk County Supreme Court a demand from We the People to establish a common law grand jury to be provided with court access, grand jury room for meetings, grand jury IDs, and a mailing address. On September 17, 2013, I received a call from Tom Honey, and he puts his number in there, the chief court officer of the Suffolk County Supreme Court. Tom Honey told me that the administrative judge, C. Randall Hinrich, told him to call me and tell me that he is denying establishment of the common law grand jury in Suffolk County based on New York State Article 190 criminal procedure law, which the said judge states denies this grand jury formation. Furthermore, I've received additional information that Judge A. Gail Preventi has sent a memorandum to all judges and court clerks to send back the documents like mine that were sent. And, of course, he's requesting those documents. You know, he's requesting a copy of the memorandum that Judge Gail A. Preventi has sent to the New York State courts and the other one from the other judge there, Honey. Please answer my above request, two requests by transferring to me in writing via my fax number. And he asked them if they agree or disagree with the U.S. Supreme Court decision of U.S. versus Williams, specifically what Judge Scalia has written above, and he quoted Scalia. Well, they're not going to answer that. You know that. But basically, they didn't want to give any written evidence. I mean, we already have another one where the clerk in I think it was Schenectady, said, I've been authorized by A. Gail Prudente to
I'll read that one. Harold wants to pipe in on this. Go right ahead, Harold.
Go ahead.
Yes, hi. I've got an update. I got a call from Tom Honey today, the chief court officer. And yeah,
who's talking there?
That's Harold talking. Go ahead.
Yeah, someone else is talking in the background.
Yeah, hang on, everybody, hang on. Yeah, when you bail out of here, go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on the registration. You know, click on the Monday night and click on registration, and you'll be able to come right in. No, I have no clue on what it would be, but you'd have to have an ID number. How'd you get this number? Yeah, I know, but how did you get into it this way?
Your number on the money.
My number?
Yeah, your number's on the email that you keep sending me.
That's my phone? Oh, you calling me on Skype?
Yeah, I'm calling you on your phone.
Oh, I have no idea. I thought I shut Skype off for this. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you were off.
That's why I'm coming so low, I guess.
You better cut it out.
Right. Okay, go out to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on Monday night conference on the left side, and then you'll see registration. Click on registration. If you're not registered, register. If you are, it doesn't matter. You won't duplicate anyway. And you'll be able to come in either through your browser or through your phone. You'll get the phone number there.
Okay.
All right, thanks. All right, go ahead.
So,
I'm going to shut
go ahead, Harold.
Yes, hi. I'm just bringing you up to date. I got a call today from Tom Honey, chief court officer, and he left a message for me that he wants to have, I guess I wasn't around at that time, but that he wants my address. I called up later on. I couldn't get him, but I got his secretary, and I gave him my address, and he left a message that he wanted my address so he could send the correspondence from the court. They didn't send me something in writing.
That should be interesting.
Oh, yeah, it will be. That will be.
And, because
the interesting thing is that they didn't do this until I sent it to Prudente last Friday. It was Thursday, Friday. I sent it to Prudente, and apparently she must have called them and said, you better get something out to me.
Well, we had another update today, didn't we, John, as far as the denial of a FOIL request?
Did that? I'm trying to think who that came through. Did that come?
That was Nassau.
That's right. Yeah, through Nassau. Let me see if they're online. Anybody from Nassau? Let me take a look.
Wasn't that Virginia?
No, I think it was Irene from Nassau. I don't.
Or
see
Irene. That. That's right. Yeah.
Irene, do you want to comment on that? Let me open up Irene's line and see if she wants to comment. Do you want to comment on that, Irene? On what happened today? You got to unmute your mic, your phone. Oh, wait a second. Maybe she needs me to. Yeah, yeah, she's connected. No, she's connected.
It sounded like she was trying to come through and she wasn't making it.
All right, well, if you can get through, go right ahead. Hagen, did you want to pipe in on something? Hagen Smith.
Can't hear you.
Yeah, Hagen, we can't hear you at all.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear
there
you.
There you go.
Go right ahead.
Okay, I wasn't talking is why you couldn't hear me. I didn't, oh. I'd raised my hand to answer when you guys couldn't hear each other. We could hear you fine. That's all I'd raise my hand
for. Okay.
All
right,
fine. Yeah, I guess that my sound was injured because someone, I don't know how he came into Skype. I put do not.
I don't know because I tried to drop that letter in your Skype and it wouldn't let me. It said you were off.
Yeah,
so that's weird.
Man. All right, anyway.
John?
Yes, who's that?
Irene.
Okay, Irene.
There you go.
Go right ahead. You sound good and clear.
Okay, that's good. No, I got the letter today. I had requested the information on Thursday and I received the letter today. And they were just denying that they're saying basically, let me get the letter, that legal memorandum that was prepared is not subject to disclosure under FOIL on the grounds that it is a privileged legal document and it constitutes intra-agency material that is exempt from disclosure.
Okay. So they can have it their way. We got plenty of evidence showing that these things were said. There was one that Gerard was bringing up in Schenectady, County of Schenectady, where we read, your correspondence dated September 20th, 2013, was received in this office on September 23rd. Please be advised that Chief Administrative Judge A. Gail Prudente has authorized me to notify you of her instructions to all court clerks and county clerks acting in their capacities as clerk of the court to reject requests, and we didn't request anything, to file documents that attempted to establish common law grand juries. Your paperwork is being returned herewith. Should you have any questions, you may direct them to. And then they don't give this judge's name a second time, but they just say the unified court system, and they're sending us to the council as if we're going to talk to their lawyers that we paid for. Of course, we're not going to answer that in any direct way other than to correct them and demand. And we did that through our letters and our letting them know that we're going to present on Friday. And all of these people have received these letters today. They were sent certified mail. And again, most of the clerks in New York have been notified now of the letter that Gerard read in the beginning. So all of the state of all of New York has been put on notice as far as the clerks are concerned, and now all the judges, I'm sure, are hearing this rumble, and they've been talking in the background for quite some time, and a lot of them, of course, have been quiet except for that one judge who now doesn't want her letter to be exposed. So anyway, that's where that is. You want to add into any of this, Gerard?
Well, I don't know if Prudente actually wrote the letter because I shouldn't say that. I don't believe, if you look at the dates, she didn't have our paperwork in her hand when she wrote that.
No, she didn't have our letters at that point or what our potential indictment letter concerning.
Well, she didn't even have the authorities that we rested in what we sent to the county. I think she just bipped this off. They said, we got these crazy people over here doing these common law grand juries, and so she did a memo off.
Right, that's what she did.
She may regret that, because what she did by calling all of them and telling them not to accept, she made a line in the sand that she has to defend now, and they all have to defend. And it's a very arrogant line, and when the people read it, you know, and hear it, you're gonna see some action out of the people over this, because this really pulls the curtain back on the man behind the curtain. You know, and in her case, it's the woman behind the curtain. So they're going to have a hard time. This is good because it puts them in the light that we have come to know them. You know, there's an arrogance there. And, by the way, we will be posting these. Like, this letter here is not online, the one that John just did. And eventually we'll put them up there because I think it needs to be up there that, you know, the one thing that's going to make them behave is when they realize every time they send us something, we put it out there. That's one of the reasons we were successful with our court cases for the amount of success we had, and that they were careful with us, because every time they did something, we entered it into the record and we put it on the website. Well, let me tell you what, they don't like the light, and that's what this is. This is light. So when we post their letters online and stuff, they realize that every time they say something and do something, the people are watching. So that's why this stuff is important. That's why we have to keep this website up, you know, so that the public can access this stuff. Because this battle is going to be won in the court of public opinion. That's where it's going to be won. We need the people to rise up. You know, we could do a lot of stuff with the procedures and this and that, but if they at some point they decide to ignore everything, it's the Gandhi effect. We have to come in force. And it doesn't even, you know, what did we have in court that time, John? Maybe 60, 70 people?
I don't know if we had that many, but we had quite a few. Let's put it this way. We filled the courthouse, and there were people standing.
Yeah, and he was stuttering and spitting all over himself because he was not, you know, they're not used to that, you know, especially like
they had to move us into a bigger room.
Right. They wanted to meet in the back room like they always do in the chambers. They do their back room deals. And instead they had to have like a hearing with the microphones and stuff out there.
But even he was arrogant because all those people were part of this court case and they said that they could not hear what was going on. Can you turn on the mics? And he refused to turn the mics on. So, again, arrogance and insult. I don't know who these people think they are, but they've been thinking too much of themselves a little too long. I just want to make a couple of notes here. First of all, anybody that's in this meeting tonight that's coming from New York, we're going to have another special meeting on Wednesday for the sole purpose of really trying to push the counties that have not constituted yet. We have a lot of people in a lot of counties throughout New York, and a lot of counties have not taken the initiative to actually go forward and get their grand juries constituted. We need help. We're looking for reinforcements, so it's time to get them constituted. Again, I'm going to put out a special email, and I'm going to do it for, I'm not sure what night this week. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow night, Tuesday night. It depends. But I'll get that out. I'll work that out tonight and get it out to those people. Now, so we have to get moving. Now, to the other states, all the other states, please go out. Anybody in any other state, go out to our jurist, what is it called, county organizers page, and down on the right below the state, you'll see, click here to see state organizers. Check out your state. If there is not a state organizer and you can organize your state, please send me an email and tell me that you would want to be a organizer, you know, for your state, whether it be, you know, Illinois, we have one, Indiana and Iowa, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts. We don't have state organizers for quite a few states, so we need that to happen. The state organizer there or coordinator, it's their job to really make sure that every county has one organizer within the county and to help that organizer to communicate with the other organizers in the other counties and to initiate the grand juries in those counties. And that organizer should help that person in every way they can to get that done. Now, some of those counties may be too far for that organizer to travel to, but he certainly can help get other organizers in the counties around them to know each other and work together so that they can go to each other's constitution when they come together to vote for reinstating a grand jury within their counties. This is so important that we get this going. Those county organizers will also be administrators on the new site. Once we get the new site up, we will have 50 administrators, one from each state, and we will also have 50 locations where people can share information within their state, and of course we'll have a national place also where people can share information on a national level. But the site will be controlled by the 50 state organizers. And of course, the county organizers at any time can get together and change that individual. It's up to the state collectively to work that out. And this will kind of prevent any kind of a control of the national website by any one individual. It's imperative that we never have that situation set up. But we'll get into more detail about that later. But we're working on that site. It's coming slow, you know, and hopefully soon it'll get out. But, you know, we also may be getting some funding. And if we do get funding, then it's going to happen very fast. We do know that we may start to experience some problems next week with our website because we don't have the high security we should have on the server we have. We're moving over to a server with a much higher security. But nevertheless, you know, we're not in that big a problem with security at this point. But the problem we probably will have is that our server will not be able to keep us up and going if we were to get a major influx of visitors at one time. They won't be able to keep us up and going, so we'll probably end up crashing. And we're going to try to make that move, if possible, before that happens. But we think that that's going to happen next week. We think that with the news media, both the TV and also with the the journalist and all the written news, that it's going to start to really weigh heavy on our broadband and the ability of the server to be able to serve us. Also, we're going to be talking next Monday. We're going to be talking to everybody about opening the doors and making phone calls to anybody. Get the media heavy duty. But we want people to wait off until after the main part of this story is released. We have to control the releasing of this story, and that's going to happen by the end of the week. Again, there's a TV interview that's going to be going on that'll be available to the press. There is a, of course, we're going to do sit-down interviews with, and we've already done a lot of this with both the TV and also with the journalist. And that journalist, I believe, is going to try to meet with us on Friday to travel with us to the different counties as we go from courthouse to courthouse. And again, we'll get more detail on that, particularly to the New York people, on what exactly the plan is, where we're going to meet. And so on. And we'll do that on Tuesday, probably tomorrow night when we meet, when we have this New York meeting. But we do want to make it a control release. And then everybody at this point forward, if the press, you can answer any press's question very simply. Don't get too involved. But you can always send the individual over to the people who have the exclusive story, and they will be able to do it much more professionally we can. Bear in mind, if you try to deal with the press on yourself in your own state, they're probably going to character assassinate you. So I wouldn't spend too much time with them. Not that you should ignore them totally. You can give them the press release, maybe respond to a few simple things, but then say, hey, look, if you want to talk, call this person. That information is going to be released on Monday, and that's when the floodgates, I think, will start to open. And everybody should call the media at that point. But, again, not until we get the controlled release. If we don't get that controlled release, then that could cause us a different problem because they'll assault us at first, of course. They can't afford to lose this control that they have. Okay.
Who's hey, John. Up,
yeah, where are we
John,
at? Yeah.
We've got a couple people saying that they can't get those files. They're corrupted online. But I think I noticed... Listen, she says, on the national website, letters from the court clerk, the answer to the clerk, just write a Nassau court clerk is corrupt. And also also another one, the file presentment, true bill. But what I noticed is they don't all come up the same way. Some of them, they'll open right up. Some of them download, and you have to click on them down on the left side in your toolbar. They go down like if you're downloading a zip file, you know how it goes down. I noticed there was two of them or three of them that didn't just open in the window. They downloaded to the toolbar, and I had to double-click them to open them. So that might
right,
be what they're experiencing.
Yeah, like here, like fax documents.
The presentment one, I know the presentment one doesn't open in the window. It goes down to the toolbar, and you have to click on it. And there's also another one that does that also. I don't know why. It was only a Microsoft Word file. Usually our zips open up like that. We have a zip file, you'll click on it, and then it'll download, and you have to click on it again down in the toolbar to open it. But anyway, I know for a fact that there's two of those letters. When you click on them, they download to the toolbar, and that's probably what you're experiencing. I don't think they're corrupt because I went in there today, and I pulled them off, and I just did it before the meeting for this computer, so I had them here. So just try that and let me know if you think they're still not working. Thank you.
Great. Okay, let's talk to some people here. Anybody have any questions, raise your hand. I see two people up. Let me see who's been up longer. I guess, Alfred, you've been up the longest. Go right ahead, Alfred.
Yes. In our going on your site for Montana, you show four counties that have organized. But we talked to you quite a while ago, and you never got my name and Kevin's name on as for Sweetgrass County.
Okay. Did you go up and register?
Yes.
Up on the top left side, register as a jurist in your county. And this is in Montana.
Okay.
Right?
We'll do it again.
Well, I'm looking right now, Montana. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 different counties, one person for each county, it looks like. Is that what you see? Now, you're saying there's some...
That's what I got printed out, yes.
Now, there should be more, you're saying?
Well, we registered, and apparently it didn't get recorded. And it's kind of important because you say we suggest 5 counties at least, and we would be the 5th county.
Okay.
Did you register as a organizer? Because only the organizers get shown. And it's important to get shown because how people are going to, otherwise you won't get the calls from the people.
Right.
Yeah.
What you do is send a email to support@nationallibertyalliance.org and just tell them to, and give them your name and your county and your state. And let them know that you wanted to be checked off as an organizer. You probably didn't check off the right box. If you're not in there, they'll get back to you to let you know that they don't see you in the registry. And then you could try to register again. Okay? All right, send the email. Or you know what? Just go in there and register again. And, we go in there for doubles anyway. If it comes in as a double, we'll get rid of that later.
Okay, that sounds good. The other question I had is, are county commissioners and your committeemen the same thing?
No. I don't know what a county commissioner is, to be honest. Do you know?
A county commissioner, over here we used to have what they called the Board of Supervisors, and they used to get together and run the county. Then they got rid of them, and they got county legislators, or i.e. commissioners. Now, a committee man is somebody who carries a petition in your voting district, and you sign, and he becomes your committee man for a party. You know what I mean?
In each election district.
There should be one for each election district, but they play all kinds of funny games with their stupid party rules, and they do whatever they want, but. Ultimately, you should have a committee man in each election district for each
one for
party.
Democrat,
one for Republican. Yeah. Now they do 2 and 2, and then they do 4, and they do all kinds of crazy stuff because they're trying to control it.
In the Declaration of Independence, it says that we should have government by the consent of the people. Our founding fathers set up 2 consenters. One is the committee man, and the other is the jurist. And the committee man consents for the people who are bringing access, getting access to become an elected individual. And the jurist deals particularly with the judicial branch, but the jurist can also deal with the political arena also. But the problem is, of course, is that they expunged the committee men here in New York. They hijacked the system. They created a facade no different than that of the Federal Reserve, and it appears as if we have committee men, and it appears as if they're elected, when in fact they are nominated and not elected. They're elected by the party leaders, and they're controlled by the party leaders, and they have a top-down structure, just like the Communist Party. They're controlled from the top down. And everything in America, our whole nation, and all the states, every place, we have the same problem. They've changed everything. It's a top-down control, and we're frustrated. This, of course, what we're doing here with the grand jury is one way we can take back our state and therefore our nation and bring the control back to the people. But once the grand jury is in place, we're going to be paying a visit to the New York State Board of Election. And we're going to start quizzing them on why they don't. We've already done numerous lawsuits against the New York State Board of Election because they're not obeying the law. Mm-hmm. But now we're going to make them obey the law under the under the threat of indictment if they don't obey the people and open back up the elected committee men again. Mm-hmm. So we're going to reinstate them. We'll get them reinstated here in the
Yeah, thank you for clearing that up because I was really confused on that.
Yeah.
The other thing
originally our site was set up for about the committee men, and we also have been studying the common law, and we've been doing a lot of court cases. We had a lot of court cases up there. Right now they're down, and we never got around to putting them back up because we've been so busy with what we're doing. And right now I'm kind of glad that they're not up at the moment because that may cause other problems that we didn't foresee before. We will be getting court cases back up, but just not right now. And but we do have the all of the necessary courses. We have a free course, totally free for anybody who wants it. Teaches them how to access the court. We wrote a book, sort of the anatomy of a court case, and we laid out all the paperwork and just the secrets that they have hidden from us that people don't know. I mean, I've been trying to discover court access information for 30 years now, and I've never been able to find it anywhere. But now we have it, and we wrote a book on it, and it's up there. It's free. We also have lots of lectures on common law. We have a lecture on trial by jury. It's 15 hours long. That's up on the document page. And so we have a lot of stuff that you can go and take advantage of. So we have the common law, and we have, of course, the committee man. And then we have, of course, what we're doing here with the grand jury. And that's really the big focus. All of these things are important to the people because this is how they control their lives. So, anything else, Alfred?
Yeah, the only other thing was is I was looking for the form that you register with the county clerk. And I could only find the one that you do if they refuse you.
What do you mean the form?
Is there a form when we go register at the clerk and recorder's office?
Well, yeah, if you come out and once you register, you should have been taken to a page, and that page, you can get to it from the left side. It's called Jury Orientation, and it said read this page. This is a general course that everyone should go through that's going to become a jurist, and we've got videos on this. We did an actual live seminar on this. In order to prepare people for what we're doing. We've done it quite some time ago, and it was recorded, and this is the actual seminar, or parts of it, shall I say. When you get to the bottom of this page, you will see it says, for details to start a grand jury, click here. So you click on that right there. That's after you get through that first course, and now you'll be taken to a page, and my computer is running very slow today. This here is a 35-minute video, which explains how to run a sort of an election on the process. It's an instructional video. It's 35 minutes long. Goes through all the paperwork. And right here in this download zip, right next to it, it says the election process. Right next to it is a download zip. That has all the paperwork. It's sort of a plug-and-play, fill-in-the-blanks. And you can download all that paperwork previous to listening to this. And this way, when you're listening to it, you can pause it and look at the paperwork at the same time. The paperwork you will see on this video is the same paperwork on this download. Now, we may have done some updates a little bit, but it's obvious. And then you'll have all the necessary paperwork and the instructions on what to file, where to file it, and how to file it in your county. Anything else, Alfred?
Okay, that should do it. I just got to get back on and re-register, and then the rest of the stuff should clear up.
Right. Yeah, re-register. When we see a duplicate, we'll delete the one, and we'll see the one that you have that's registered as a organizer, and we'll leave that one in.
Okay?
Thank you. Okay.
If you go from the bottom... You should go from the bottom up because Jason's hand's been up for half, and then they go down less as you go work up.
Okay.
The bottom guy's up the longest. Jason Workman has been up for over half hour now. So then you work up Joe Kelly.
You can find him and open him up. I don't know. I don't see him. Jason?
You know what? He just put his hand down. He disappeared. He played a game on me. He disappeared. So the next... The next one would be Kenneth. Kenneth Hunt. And I'll unmute him. I can do that. There. Kenneth, you're open. Go ahead.
Oh, just a second.
Okay.
Are those people talking in your background, Gerard?
No, not me. Mm-mm.
I hear it. I don't know where that could be. Hang on 1 second. Everybody is muted, though, aren't they?
No. What about what's his name that you just got off with? Did you mute his mic when he went off?
Yeah. All right, go ahead, Ken.
Can't get on.
Can
you hear me?
Yeah, who's talking?
Yeah, we hear you.
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can hear you. Who's that, Ken?
Okay. Actually, didn't realize I had my hand up. I must have hit the button. Just listening to the process, and I guess there's three of us on my island that have listed themselves as county coordinators. I haven't seen or did not see where any of them were on this call, but I will contact them as I know one or two of the people.
Right. It is extremely important. You know, look, we have almost 200 leaders in New York State, and we don't have all 200 leaders coming onto these calls. And we have the same thing in a lot of states, and we keep telling, and that's going to be the job of the state coordinator to get these people to these calls, or maybe they shouldn't be leaders. Because how can you lead if you don't know what to do? We're running a process here, and we're trying to establish the problems, and we're doing something that has never been done before. And we're rediscovering the procedure that our founding fathers put up. Now, we have the basic framework, but, you know, we've been met with problems, and we knew we'd be met with problems, and we're kind of creating it off the cuff on how we're dealing with those problems. And we may make some mistakes. And certainly if we make a mistake, we want everyone else to learn from our mistakes so they don't do the same thing. And we also want them to learn from our successes. And so, you know, it is so important that we're all on the same page and doing the same thing. You know, we're all running our own, processes within our own counties and our own towns. That's our business. It's nobody else's business. But we mm-hmm. should come together to learn. So, yes. That's one of the jobs of the state coordinator that they should be doing.
We should be uniform in as much as our methods and our authorities. You do what you want in your how you run your grand jury in your county and in your state. But the one thing that's going to give us more credibility and more ultimately more power is the fact that we're uniform. We're all on the same page. That they're going to realize that these aren't just some hodgepodge little, you know, different grand juries in different states, that we have a method and we have a plan. And the, one of the most important things is that you learn the procedure, because in our experience from looking and doing research, is the ones that didn't have success was because they didn't know the procedures. They hit something and they stopped like a brick wall, and then they all fell apart. And it all had to do with a procedure. They didn't know what the next step was. And we've always been able to take the next step, and the few times when it wasn't the right step, by taking that step, we discovered where we should have went, and then we repaired it. You know what I mean? So it is a learning experience, but ultimately, when all is said and done, we will be a force of one, and that's what we want. Not that we're anybody's leading anybody, but that we the people will know who we are, where we are, what we're doing. Basically, that gives us strength.
No, I agree. Taking back the courts is a very important step, and we have the right to do that. It's just a matter of pushing the envelope with those that are in the de facto that are going to resist. To some point.
Absolutely.
But,
they're resisting for numerous reasons. One of those, of course, is they're making big dollars off we, the people that they have enslaved, who are our servants. And the other reason, of course, is to protect themselves from going to jail, because they're doing all this. They're guilty of RICO. And all this is eventually going to be exposed, and they know it.
I think the latter is the biggest concern they have. They know that if what we're saying is true, and they do know it, in my opinion, unless we give them some type of amnesty, they go to jail at some point.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And again, remember a couple of things. We The grand jury, the purpose of the grand jury is to repair our wrongdoing, and we have to try to figure a way on how we're going to restore. I think in their cases, I don't know how we can restore the people from the damages that these people have done, and maybe jail is the only thing for them. But that'll be ultimately decided by the grand jury is going to try to fix that by talking and negotiating if possible. But some things you just can't negotiate. You're just going to have to send to the trial jury. And the trial jury is going to have a real tough job trying to figure out what they can do. And, of course, they could do anything they want. And so every case will be, of course, different. It's always extenuating circumstances, and we're always looking at the facts, particularly of each case, and who's damaged and how damaged and how can we get restitution to that injured party, because that's the key thing. But ultimately, exactly. Yeah, they have damaged the world. So, anything else?
Nope.
I think Daryl is next, and then I think after that is Marilyn. So let me unloose unmic.
I got Joe Kelly for 22 minutes too down here. I don't know.
Okay,
he's on the bottom.
Daryl's been up there. Oh, Daryl's
20 minutes.
He's already open. So go ahead, Daryl.
Go ahead.
Then we'll go down.
We're not always fair. Go ahead.
You handle it from keep an eye on it. Go ahead. Go ahead, Daryl. Daryl Walton.
Ah, yes. Hello, people. John, there's a situation that came up that I thought you might like to be made aware of. In the last general election, the Election Commission in the state of Missouri asked Dallas County if their restroom was not handicap available to put an out-of-order sign on it so they would not be held liable. And the thing is, Dallas County elections were held at a polling office where the restroom was an outhouse. This is not uncommon in the state of Missouri. We have several counties where there are areas where there is no indoor plumbing. And it brings me to the next issue. In trying to get one of the libraries set up where I could start the election process, first of all, they said that they were privately owned and that they did not supply any audio.
They said that the libraries were privately owned?
Yes.
Well, you know what? We have a problem here in New York, too, with the libraries, and I'm not sure what the deal is there, but I think these are trusts that are set up. They're not privately owned, but they are separated from the government, I think, under trusts, and they're getting government funding. And if they're getting government funding, and we paid for those books and that building and everything else that's attached to it, I think the people actually own that, and it's being handled as a trust. And that's something I think the grand jury, I know the grand juries here in New York at some point are going to visit the library situation to fix this problem, because these people also are out of order. We have been told that the people cannot use their own library for the purpose of meeting to come together for something that is a public service like this grand jury, and that in order to do that, we have to be either incorporated, a trust, or some kind of a government structure, government-controlled structure, and then we have to be, you know, pay insurance, special insurance. You know, I've asked these people, when they tell me, well, you need to get insurance, I said, well, what happened? Didn't you pay the bill? And she said, well, yeah, of course we paid the bill. We got insurance. I said, well, you know, I paid the insurance. This is run under people's money. This is run by the taxes. I've already paid for the insurance. We don't need to pay for the insurance twice. What are you doing? You know? And I know they're not getting any special savings from their insurance company. What they're doing is protecting their insurance company from not having to be liable. But who are these people? Corporations and other people can come in and use this, but the people themselves, because they are not incorporated, can't use the libraries? That's insane. Total insanity. So, yeah, that's something I think you're going to want to investigate at some point later, because our first order of business is to save the republic, and we're going to be focusing in on bringing justice back to the courts of injustice, controlling that that out of control prosecutor, and getting the sheriff on board by creating a relationship with him, and stabilizing our state, and after we feel that the state is stabilized and organized, it's time to really start to reset the house. Reorganize the house and clean house throughout the entire state. And this library system is a problem. So I'm sure you guys are going to be busy with that too.
Oh, absolutely. And another thing too is I was informed that they did not have digital projectors.
Yeah, some of these libraries don't. And... you know, then you have to find a library that has one, unless, you know, I have my own anyway, so if they don't have them, I bring them. But you're right, yeah, that's unfortunate. I don't know why. You would think that they would have them. I don't know why they don't.
Yeah, especially since this is the capital city.
Yeah, exactly. What are they doing with the money?
Yeah, absolutely. Look,
there's criminality everywhere, and crime breeds crime. You know, it just gets worse and worse, and you know there's games going on everywhere. Doesn't matter. All right, anything else, Daryl?
No, I believe that's all that I need. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Who's next, Rod?
Okay, next is Joe, but before we go to Joe, I'm going to open him up. Steve Santiago wants to know, do I have to go to jury's duties? Is it a conflict of interest? He's in the Bronx.
Just tell him you believe in jury nullification, and he'll get rid of you.
Yeah, right. I mean, we haven't gotten to court yet, so there is no, you know, as far as that goes, there's no conflict. But
yeah,
you know,
although it might be good to go so you can really exercise jury nullification and teach everyone else there to do the same. So it's up to you what you want to do, but we're going to be shutting that down soon.
And there's just another interesting thing here that Phil Price put in the thing. He said, in Rockingham County, North Carolina, jurists shared a government document called the Anti-Government Movement, where they specifically named the common law grand jury. The manual is a propaganda piece that paints anyone who's a constitutionalist or interested in liberty as anti-government. It explains the attitudes of the court and a lot of the reason why the court personnel are so hostile towards non-bar people. And I said, well, just tell them it's not an anti-government movement. It's an anti-communist movement. So that's my answer to that. But go ahead, Joe. You're open. Go ahead. You can talk whenever you're ready.
Okay. I wanted to – well, I got feedback somehow.
No, I'm not hearing it.
I don't know. I don't hear it. I mean, unless
it's – okay. What I wanted to say is, instead of a vacuum, see, now that's what they're threatening right now with defunding, and then you get no government, but they forget to add the parentheses, false. So instead of a vacuum, what you guys are doing is filling the vacuum that never was a vacuum, which is the rule of law. And that has to do with what I wanted to tell you guys last time about your misuse of the word democracy. But before I do that, and I don't even have to, I could put it off for another week because you're running out of time.
Yeah, I think if you can, because we want to really focus in on the activities, and even next week we may not be able to do it because there's going to be a lot of things to share. But we definitely do want to hear you out on these things.
Yeah, to be quick with that as an answer, it's very important because what you're doing is you're excluding roughly half of the population by that, what you are doing, you yourself. But what I wanted to, as a priority, is ask, I heard somebody say, choose to be a state leader, and I don't know what else I can do other than, you know, hand deliver an affidavit that says I want to be the California state leader. Because I've seen that there is evidence that an election has to occur.
Well, what we need is a state organizer, okay? and that organizer, look, you know, there's a void to be filled. If someone, if you've got people working together and the counties are ready and they want to get together and choose a state organizer, they should. But if they don't get together or know enough to do that, someone's just got to step up and say, hey, I'm going to do it. And they got to be working the state. Obviously, if they're doing a good job, the people that they're organizing are going to like them and they're going to keep them. If they're a problem, or if they think that this person's a problem, they'll get rid of them. But, you know, the state will do, the counties will do what they want in their own state, and they'll organize them. But we have to get the organizing going. So, look, I was not elected to do what I'm doing. I just saw the void, stepped up, and filled it because nobody else filled it. And believe me, I'd be willing to step aside any moment. So it's just a void that I filled, and if you see a void, fill it, and that's it. That's how work gets done. But these state individuals, organizers, at some point, you know, the counties come together. They may want to make some rules or ideas that maybe this organizer I guess we'll call them coordinator. The coordinator, they may want to change them from time to time, whatever they want to do. It's their business. I don't know whatever a state group of people want to do. New York will do the same thing at some point. I don't know what the people are going to agree to. I know what I think, and I'll share my opinion. People will share their opinion. Eventually, we'll come to some conclusions, and we'll write them on a piece of paper, and we'll operate that way. And maybe at a later date, we'll change it. But whatever, it doesn't matter. But until then, step up, take on the job that you see is open because it needs to be filled. We need to do this.
Well, that was my question. The question is, because I've sent emails, I've posted on your site, and I've offered that I can be an interim California coordinator, but I still see California has no...
Well, send me an email. Tell me that you want to be the coordinator. Just give me the state and your state and your name in the email, and I will post you up. I'll get your number up there, unless you want a different number than what's on that you registered with. But I'll go into the registry and get your number, and your name will appear on California as the coordinator, and then it's time for you to coordinate. And I know I said that I would write the rules or the ideas or the job description for that. I have not gotten to that yet. I do kind of describe it every week, but I got to get out, and I got to find the time to sit down and kind of write some ideas on what it is they need to do. And, you know, and for instance, I can explain how we're organizing New York. You know, we broke New York up into four parts. And just recently, matter of fact, just today, we were really pushing hard on it. We have one individual or a couple individuals on the western part. We have a couple in the central, a couple in the northern. Southern part is already done. Okay? So we got a couple of people in those three different other areas, those other three areas who are starting to work now collectively to get those areas organized. And it's up to the state coordinator to make that work. And we actually have two state coordinators. We have another individual stepped up to help the other coordinator. So we have two people working New York State instead of one. And ultimately, every county coordinator should be working with the state coordinator for the sole purpose of trying to get the counties around them organized and finding someone and introducing them to the state coordinator and working together to get these grand juries established in every single county.
Okay, so... I already sent the email, so I should spam you with emails? I'm not trying to be rude or anything.
Yeah, no, I didn't. Where did you send it to? My name or where did you send it?
I can check to make sure that so that I don't answer in error.
Right. I don't recall seeing an email from you or anybody from California stepping up to the plate in California. I don't recall.
Okay.
If it came, I get lost, you know. Look, I get a lot of emails. As a matter of fact, we now have support, and there's someone handling the support. And if you send it to the support, maybe they – I know they didn't check their email the last day. Well, there's some things that they haven't done in the last day or so, but it was Sunday. So hopefully today they'll take care of all of the backup from the weekend. And if your letter came – if your email went to them, I'm sure they'll get it to me. I haven't checked my email since last night, by the way. I've just been too busy.
I went in and checked the email, and there was one person wait that was done. I didn't think there was anybody that had emails waiting.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I went in today, and it said there was a request. And I went to put it in, and it was done already, so I figured everything else was done. But anyway, that was my experience. And we do, listen, sometimes we have trouble getting email between us. I have trouble sending John email. He doesn't always get it, and vice versa. You know, I don't know what's going on, but at different times, it's a lot worse than other times, too. I think they're funneling everything through Utah, and it's not working too good all the time.
Okay, so email to support.
Okay, you can email it directly to me, john@nationallibertyalliance.org. But anybody that's looking for support information, they should go to support because I get overloaded with email. So anything that's important that you need to talk to me about, fine, or call me, fine, or talk about it on Mondays, fine. You know, whatever has to be done, we need to communicate. But, yeah, send it to john@nationallibertyalliance.org, and I'll probably get it done tomorrow for you.
All right. And in closing, rather than a prolonged discussion on the meaning of democracy, the true meaning, which started with, like, Thomas Paine, Patrick Henry, guys like that, Girard actually said what the meaning is. He called it the Gandhi effect.
Okay.
And that's it for me.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Who's next, John?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Marilyn Miller.
Yes, she's
next.
Been for a while.
I got to get on with Joe one night. I can see that we'll end up around Saturn and back again and around the rest of the universe because he's got a lot of stuff. What happened?
Okay, Marilyn.
She didn't get on me.
Gerard.
I'm sorry. There you go, Marilyn.
I just sent an email out to support because Kathy and I have a new phone number to put on the website.
Okay.
And also, I wasn't able to do it today, but I'm planning on trying to get a hold of our county clerk tomorrow and having an informal sit-down chit-chat with them.
County clerk or the court?
The county clerk.
Okay.
Yeah. The county clerk is a really good guy, and I think on a personal level it might help him to understand what we're doing.
Okay.
Well, he now has a copy of Williams versus U.S. And that, you know what, if he takes that and reads it, you know, that's good material to take home and read.
Yeah, what would be interesting is when you talk with him, I'm sure at this point he will have read that, and ask him what his thoughts were, you know. Feel him out. See if he understood it.
Right.
And I think Joe made a real good point that we could use until it's gone. Hey, the government's closed down. We're just filling the vacuum.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
What the hell? They're not doing it. It's and who is the government? It's we the people. Listen, we don't get paid. We're just volunteering. Get out of the way. Let us work.
Right. Well, he defended our county against the Journal News, and now the Journal News is coming after him.
Oh.
And, yeah.
That's terrible when you're an elected official. They can really give you a lot of trouble because I fought the newspapers a lot when I was in office, you know, and you have to really be good on your feet, and they'll take anything you say and twit and take it out of context if you're not careful. It's a real hard battle to do when you're in politics.
Yeah, yeah. So
the media turns against you. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I really don't want to see him go through any more. So...
Well, he doesn't have a real big part here.
No, I know.
You know what I mean? He doesn't have a whole lot to do. I mean, he could file the paper. Nobody even know the difference. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's the court
just stick
and
in
the judge. Yeah, just stick it in there. Let it go. It's no big deal. We don't even care, really. We're just kind of sending them, you know. We do care,
it's
but
memorializing
it's
memorializing
us. Right. It's memorializing it. It's a technicality. You know, it's getting in the courtroom that's the battle. You know what I mean? The county clerk should, I don't know. I think my county clerk, he's not going to have any taste for this. He's gonna file it and run because he's already been up against it. When we walk in there, he turns white like the blood runs through his feet. So He'll do it out of fear, if nothing else. But, you know, but like I said, the county clerk has a very small part here.
Right, but I'm sure he could wield a little influence.
Well, listen, if you get a county clerk on your side, it really, really helps, because a lot of the procedures that we do, they all flow through that county clerk, a lot of them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of common law procedures, I should say, you know, that you file with the clerk. And it's up to him to push it up through into the courts. And the court clerk, too. The court clerk can, I mean, a court clerk can give you, I think even a county clerk can give you a default ruling, because it's predicated on the process. So you say, look, here's this, no answer. They can stamp it. They can stamp it as a default. Most of them don't, because they're too afraid to, but they do have the authority. They don't have to go to the judge. When you present paperwork and everything's in order and the person defaulted, the clerk can give you the default ruling on it. You know, and if you got a clerk that's friendly, that's nice. You know?
Right. Yeah, and I'd like to get it to that point. Now, other than, I mean, we know the benefits of this, but what would be the benefit to a county clerk having a common law grand jury in the county?
Well, he wouldn't have to worry about all the rest of the corruption that's going on around him.
Well, it would be a benefit, benefit to him as one of the people as anybody else. It also,
right.
He wouldn't have to do illegal things like file a notice of liens as liens from the IRS.
Which he is liable for. When
that's
people
right.
finally wake up, these government officials that file all this stuff and push it through, and it's all illegal, most of it never even has a signature on it. It's just people are too stupid to hold their feet to the fire. You know, that's a benefit, because once people wake up, I mean, he needs to brush up too, because as things become more, you know, out there, he's going to want to know that he's doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? As far as the law is concerned, and he doesn't have to be a Kentucky lawyer or anything like that, but he certainly has to know what's lawful and what's not lawful. You know what I mean? As far as like these things we're doing. I mean, look, if you read our paperwork, you can be pretty well sure that we're right and they're wrong. I mean, as long as you believe that this is still America and there's still a Constitution. And that's actually why we need to hurry up, because at some point they're going to declare the Constitution null and void. Then this is all dead in the water. It's like the point is moot. Then we're at the guns, so to speak. And we don't want to go there, because we'll never get it back to, even as messed up as it is today, we still have a framework to work with. That framework falls apart, we're going to be in trouble. So.
Right. Okay.
Anyway.
And, of course, I can let him know that, you know, he's got people like you guys to advise him if he's got questions.
Absolutely. I mean, we'll do it in secret if he wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, all he's got to do is call the grand jury, and yeah, you know, we'll set up in New York a special hotline, so to speak, for questions or situations that people aren't unsure how to deal with it, and the call can come to someone like Gerard or myself or others that are capable of kind of dealing with a lot of the situations, because we know how things work, so to speak. So
right,
and if we don't have the answer, we'll find it, you know. I mean, that's how we got to where we're at, is we didn't have the answers to all these things. We had to go looking for them, and we found them, you know. But, you know, one of the other things that's going to be done, and that's as important as anything else, is for people to be treated like human beings, and like it's like the owners of this country, that these people are the servants. And when someone walks into their office, they should be treating us like kings, not the way they do, because these people are just nasty. Nasty, nasty people. And I could tell you stories, but I'm not going to fill up the time with stories. Anything else, Marilyn?
That's it for now. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you. Who's
okay,
next?
Okay, we got Steven next, but there is a question that maybe you can go real quick on in the text chat there. And Somebody wants to know if it's a conflict of interest if you're in elected office to sit on a jury or
absolutely.
A grand jury.
Absolutely. Yes, as long you can sit on it before you get into office, you could sit on it after you get into office. But while you're in office, you cannot sit on a grand jury, just like you cannot become a committee man either. You know, you cannot do that. You can't hold two offices at the same time either. Yeah, as an elected individual, you cannot sit on any jury, and that's okay, you know, for that time period that you're in office, you know. All right, anything
okay.
else?
Okay, so I'm going to open Steve
Stephen
up.
Stephen Santiago
sorry.
From the Bronx. Go right ahead. Stephen Santiago from the Bronx.
You know, John, while Stephen's getting ready, they used to exempt all kinds of people that work for the government from jury duty, and especially elected officials. But at some point, they stopped that, and they made everybody go, everybody. I mean, I'm a volunteer fireman, and they used to exempt us automatically. At some point, they said, oh, no, everybody's got to serve. And they even have elected officials.
Well, I think a voluntary fireman should most definitely be able to sit on a jury. Any political or judicial job, serving to the government,
volunteer fireman, you're a first responder, so you have to be there. So if you're serving on the jury, you don't want to be running out when the fire whistle blows, obviously. Yeah. So they would just exempt us, you know what I mean? But at some point they said, oh, no, you got to serve, and you know, you could just tell you. I mean, they might exempt you if you're like a small town and there was nobody and you live like I do, you know, 700 feet away from the firehouse. I could use that as an excuse saying, well, I'm the first one there. I drive the truck. They would. I'm sure they would say, well, go ahead, you're dismissed.
Right,
you know
but
I mean?
You should want to go in a grand jury.
Right, sure. But they. Well, my point is they got to a point where they made everybody go, even elected officials. I don't know what that was all about, you know?
Yeah, no, elected officials is a conflict of interest. And I think even a servant that's working for the government is a conflict of interest in this case. That we'd have to think about. You know, someone who is just gets a paycheck, they're a bureaucrat, they're not necessarily elected or anything like that, they're working, they just happen to be working for the government. I think probably those people should be able to go. I think we need to think about that. What are the pros and cons? Maybe there's certain people, I don't know. I think a person who's just collecting a paycheck, it's their job.
Well, listen, if somebody's working for the government and if he's an employee and he doesn't have control over his pay, see, a conflict of interest is an elected official,
yeah.
Right, that has control over money. And in other words, he can't. That employee doesn't have control over his own salary. He's just a person like you and me. He just happens to work for the state. I don't see a problem with that. And the other thing
is,
back
yet? I think I hear something. Is that you, Gerard?
No, I got him.
Hello, do you hear me?
Yes, Steven Santiago from Bronx.
That was some introduction.
It sounded like you just started up your car.
Yeah, it sounded like a spaceship.
Yeah. Go ahead, Steve.
Is that you, Steve? You lost him again. Yeah, see, he's having trouble. He's not modulating. There's something wrong with his mic. He's got all kinds of hissing.
Steven,
and
are you there?
Yeah, that's him.
He's starting his car up.
That's one of them SETI broadcasts from outer space.
You're not coming through, Steve.
Your mic is really, really, it's really distorted.
All right, let's go to others. We're going to take your mic away for right now. If you think you got your problem fixed, raise it up, and we'll get right to you as soon as we see your hand back up. Meanwhile, go to the next person.
Okay, Jesse. I don't know if Jesse talked already, but his hand's up. I don't. Maybe I didn't take it down last time. I'm going to open him up. Jesse, did you have something to say? Or did I never put your hand down? Because Jason, we talked to, didn't we, Jason Workman?
No.
No, we didn't. Is that you?
We didn't talk to Jason yet.
Okay, well, Jason's been up for quite a while, so go ahead, Jason.
Hey, can you hear me?
We can hear
you. Oh, yeah, that's really good, yeah.
Okay, great. Hey, it's a privilege to be here. Sorry I put my hand down earlier. I just wasn't fully prepared to speak. I was like, oh, no. But, yeah, it's inspiring. I'm grateful for inspired program. I really think this is what the Lord put into the Constitution so that we can really have one last chance to save it.
Amen. And, yeah, this is the last chance, I'll tell you. It is it. People got to get up and move now. Just want to take the opportunity of what you just said, because look at, we have a great opportunity here. The enemy has been engaged. The battle has begun. And now is the time that we need reinforcements. We need people stepping up and getting their grand juries. Get your toe out of the water and jump in. We need the grand juries throughout all of New York, and we need the grand juries throughout all of the states. Let's do it. Okay, I'm sorry.
Amen.
Go ahead, Ed. Get back.
No, that's just exactly what I'm feeling. And this shutdown is in Utah, we're hard hit because we have a lot of national parks. And everywhere there's a national park, they're closed down. And so all of that business that would go there, all those businesses, hotels and restaurants and tourism, they're not able to make this critical income for these next months or however long this shutdown is going to be. And when I see this vacuum, I just want to go down there and open the barricades and say, the heck with this. This is God's country. He created it. You have no right to force people out. And, you know, of course, I don't want to get myself arrested, but it's just crazy that it's come to that we don't have a right to even let people go through land, walk on trails that have been walked on, that are there. The amenities are still there. It's just,
what are they, federal parks?
Yeah, we have Zion's National Park in Utah. Uh-huh. And
that should be controlled by the state. I know it's not.
No, it's not, right.
It should be controlled by the state.
Okay.
What does the government do for you there anyway? They pick up trash or whatever like that, you know? This is such baloney, because I'm going to tell you what this is like. When that film we have on the site, John, where they shut all the traffic lights off in that town in England, and everything ran 10 times the speed, a 20-minute walk became a 10-minute walk. Nobody was banging into each other or anything. Listen, if we told people, you know, there's no government, nobody's here to watch you, go in, be responsible citizens. If you take it in, take it out, I'll bet you it would run smoother than when they're there, you know?
Well, I know, and that's what I want to believe, and I'm just so invigorated and impassioned. I would just love to go down there. I mean, it's...
Well, you know what I think? I think I heard that Obama's told them to hit them where it hurts the most, the people. They want to tick the people off. And the reason they want to tick the people off is they're looking for action. First thing, Obama wants revolution. And if he can get people going to the park and ripping some barricades down, you know, listen, you know, they'd shoot you, and then Congress would have a standing ovation for that dangerous guy that ran away with the code, and they shot him in the back as he was running. Yay! Because
and the
that's
cops
how
would be
sick,
a hero for it, just like they did
right.
with that woman.
That's how sick these people are. But you see, he's looking for. He wants to tick everybody off. You know, they're looking to bring the bottom up so they can bring the top down, and that's what they want. You know, that's the whole revolution thing. So the problem is it hasn't happened. Even with the Occupy, they thought the Occupy was going to be worse than it was, and they didn't get the bang that they wanted to. You know, they wanted to bring martial law in, and that wasn't big enough. You know, I'm afraid that if nobody goes and rips the parks up and does anything else, the next step is going to be, you know, they tried the war, and the whole world was like, and so that kind of fizzled out. So... the next thing is a false flag. I'm sorry, but that's what I feel they're going to do, because they need an excuse to go back. First of all, they've spent so much money, and we're at a fiscal wall now. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. You could, you know, there's the end of the rainbow at some point. You know, you can't keep printing money and owing bills and making it 10, you know, so many times your GDP. Eventually, it gets caught up. Now, he wants to raise the debt ceiling and print more. He can't do it. He's full of crap. He won't do it. China doesn't want him to do it because that's who's buying this stuff, and they know that it's just air. So we're at a very – make no mistake about it. People don't realize. They say, oh, we got a couple of years. We are at a critical point. I subscribe to the guys who predicted Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and AIG and all those failures a full 2 years. Actually, some of them were 3 years, and they sent letters to Congress, books to Congress. I got all their stuff here. They're an investment firm. They tell you what to do with your money. They told everybody what banks to get out of. They got a whole list of other banks that you shouldn't even have your money in. This stuff is – there's guys out there that have all the proof, and Congress and everybody should have known. They do know, but they're so controlled they don't care. So to know that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were going to do what they did 3 years before they did it, they all knew because he sent books to every congressman, every senator, every president, the president, and, well, every president. There's more than one. He's got three hidden ones that tell him what to do. No. But they don't care. And their goal is to bankrupt this country. That's the thing. That's the deal. They don't care about you. They don't care about us. They only care about themselves. And
to interrupt you, I'm sorry, Gerard, but I just was wondering, I'm glad you restrained me from going down there and radically, you know, ripping away barricades. Not that I would want to do that in any malice, but what do you see us as an option? I mean,
right,
is there
what
not...
What we're doing right now, right here, taking that brick and mortar of the courts back, because once we get the common law grand juries in, what we could do is we could open up all those parks. We could pull them on the carpet. You know, they're violating the people here. I mean, there's so much corruption through the whole system. The people have to take the bull by the horns and become... Listen, we created them. We're their boss. The boss is back. Mommy and daddy are home. You know, it's over now. So we have to. One of the reasons that they got this way is because we were lazy. Listen, as long as we had enough money and we could watch our football and buy our beer, they were taking too much, but we still could afford to pay. We were okay with it. But of course, you know, they get greedier and greedier and greedy, more greedy and more greedy. And eventually you get to the point where you can't keep paying them, and everybody is getting to that point now. The trouble is do we have enough time to straighten it out before it collapses? That's the big question. Right, and I believe we can do it. I believe we can do it as long as we don't get distracted, as long as we don't let them distract us. And they make no mistake about it, they're going to want to distract us with something big if it doesn't work out their way.
Hang
on a minute. We're coming up on the 2 hour point, so we're going to continue talking here, of course, but I'm going to shut the recording off.